Blog Talk Radio.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Woo! To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power.
Come on. Come on, you declare it.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power. There is power
in the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain. Come on, say it.
Break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain.
There's an army rising up. There's an army.
Everyone, welcome to Say It On Purpose broadcast. I am Elder Britton, your host on tonight. To the bishop, to everyone that's here with us on tonight, to bishop from the bishop that's on here from Nigeria, to Pastor Harmon from Gastonia, Tree of Agape Life, Pastor Pace from Baltimore, Tree of Agape Life, and to Bishop Zimmerman of Spartanburg, South Carolina, and to our special guest for tonight, Prophetess Crystal Lee with KLM Ministries. And to all our guests on tonight, on behalf of our prelate, Prophet Daniel, we welcome you wholeheartedly We at Tree of Agape Life believe that everybody is somebody, and our motto is the world is our church, not just the building. Scripture tonight is going to be coming from John 15, the fifth verse, and it reads, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We thank God for each and every one of you again on here tonight. We will now have our prayer by Bishop Zimmerman. And after our prayer, I'll be back with the introduction of the speaker, Bishop Zimmerman.
Amen. Let us all pray. Our Father God, we truly just thank you for the opportunity to corporately come together to worship you again in spirit and in truth. We come today praying on behalf of our fivefold ministry. Lord, you said in Ephesians 4:11 that he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers and apostles for the perfecting of the saints, for the edification of the body. Father, we come right now, according to Joshua 1:9, seeking you to be more strong, more courageous, Lord God. Father, in this dispensation of time, Lord God, that the enemy has come to sift us out as wheat, Lord God, but we're trusting you, Lord God, to give us that strength, Lord God. You said in Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our strength, Lord God. Father, you said in Philippians 2:3 to comfort others, Lord God, even more so than ourselves as the proclaimers of your word, Lord God. Father, we ask that you give us more as your leaders, Lord God, that strength to draw even more. As Matthew 28:19-20 says, to go out and make disciples, Lord God. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be called and chosen of you, Lord God. We take not this office to be lightly, Lord God. And, Father, we ask, Lord God, that you continue to make us the ministers of reconciliation every day, Lord God. Not only just us be wearers of a collar, Lord God, but be ambassadors unto you, Lord God. And forever will we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bishop Zimmerman, for that powerful prayer. Our speaker for tonight, as I introduce our speaker for tonight, is none other than the prophetess Crystal Lee, founder of KLM Ministries and Rock Mugo Ministries. Prophetess Crystal Lee's life was impacted by the gospel of Christ at an early age. She accepted Christ as Savior at the age of 5 and was on her first kingdom assignment, a mission and prayer for her family. As a child, she was profoundly affected by the things of God. From the age of 3, she was inducted to sing into the church choir, and at age 5, she sang her first solo. At an age, she was always called to preach, preaching her first pulpit message at 16. She received the baptism of the Holy Ghost at age 16. Amazingly, God, in his infinite wisdom, eternal love, and grace, made sure that she was in all the right environments to see and receive impartation of all of the right stuff. Prophetess Lee's roots began in the Baptist church, spread to the Pentecostal church, and throughout her life, she was touched by the majority of all other denominations. She's seen a lot, and she's noted a lot. And at the end of the day, the only thing that matters to her is the kingdom. Prophetess has functioned in the church in every capacity except a senior pastor. In the ministry now for 30 years, she's been a wife, remains a mother of 5, and has 6 grandchildren. Through teaching the word, preaching the message of holiness and sanctification, exposing the church to the presence of God through worship and training the body in kingdom way of life. She has a heart for the people of God. She is after the heart of God, and souls is her assignment, both in the four walls and outside. Holiness and sanctification are not moments or clothing, but a way of life. She is currently an elder, a Levite, administrator of the church, and the Bethesda Fellowship for Churches and Leaders, and liaison for Chief Apostle Eugene Smith at Better Covenant Global in Detroit, Michigan. With honor and privilege, I present to you Prophetess Crystal Lee. After this song, we'll turn it over to Prophetess Lee.
Amen.
God bless you, people of God. God bless you.
I'm so glad
and so happy to be here with you this evening. Good evening. Good evening to everybody. I'd just like to start by just thanking and giving honor to Prophet Daniel for inviting me to come and share this time of fellowship with you. I honor God, who's the head of my life, and I give him glory and honor and praise for being here just to share this time of fellowship and in the word with you tonight. As I was preparing for this assignment today, I was seeking the Lord diligently and expecting the reward that goes along with the seek, because we know that the word of God says that those that would seek him diligently should expect a reward. One of the things that I'm absolutely good at, I believe, is hearing from the Lord and pulling something together to share with the people of God. I've been finding in this season that it's been just a little bit different. When I first got the invitation, I'd already had some concepts and some different things that I wanted to talk about, heard some things that God wanted to share with the people of God. And as time progressed, the things seemed to grow, and then I was a little confused, so I just inquired of God again. I want you to understand it's no problem when you have to ask God a second time what he said. We're in the season of never before, and because we're in this season of never before, we're going to need to ask some questions. Joshua, the people in the book of Joshua chapter 3, he says, listen, we've never been this way before, and because we've never been this way before, you're going to need to follow the leading that's been set before you. When you see the Ark of the Covenant go up and be bared on the shoulders of the priest, then you're going to need to rise from your place of comfort. Get up from where you are. Get out of your tents. Pack up your belongings and let's go. We are definitely in the season of picking up our belongings, packing up whatever's going on, even if it's in our minds, because a lot of times we got a lot of luggage going on in our heads, and God is saying this is the season to follow what's before you, to follow the leading of the Lord. You're going to need to do that because you've never been this way before. So I believe I've got I believe I've got God on speed dial. So I called him up real quick, and I was expecting a real quick direction and a real quick answer. And I love him today because he just does this on lots of occasions. Lately, it's been that way because one of the things that I've become aware of is that this is not a season of necessarily having it all together. Of course, we are together in some senses because we've been prepared, we've been cultivated, we've been developed through our trials and just through being in the presence of the Lord. But one of the things that I'm realizing about this season, because there's a changing of the guards, and I know that's been such a common thing that the church has said, but the church says a lot of things, and sometimes the church is just talking church stuff, but this is kingdom stuff. There is literally a changing of the guards. There is a shifting. Yes. The time of Saul is over, and Eli and his sons are dead. They are dying. Jesus. And so we have the old regime going out and the new coming in. And what I recognize about what God is doing is that he's telling the people of God, it's not just about your ability anymore. Because, yes, gifts and callings come without repentance. We've got all of these gifts. We've got all of these callings. We've got assignments. We've got all of this stuff in order. But God is looking for available people. He's looking for available people. And how does he mean available? Not just to be used, because, I mean, a donkey was used. He used all kinds of stuff in the scripture. But I'm talking about people that are available and an intimate relationship with him. So in prayer, God shared with me several things, the first of which that this is an uncommon season for mergers, marriages, and divine connections. That's been the theme that God has been sharing with me. And he added, in addition, just in the last maybe couple of weeks, that this is a season of divine movement. And so we are in the season of partnering, partnerships with people. We need to be able to partner. And that takes the right spirit. That takes the right attitude to be able to partner with people. There are a lot of people who have thought over the seasons that it was just about them. They were lone rangers, you know, and people were looking at personalities. But I want you to understand that this is a season where personalities really don't count, not with God anyway. How popular we are and how many people know our names. This is not Cheers. You know what I'm saying? It's not about how many people know our name. It's does God know our name? He's seeking those whom he can trust in this hour to carry a divine instruction, to carry a divine word of God, divine revelation to a people that have ears to hear. There are a lot of people that are listening all over the place. They're hearing things. They're going into church houses and they're hearing a bunch of things and they're going but they're not really hearing what the Lord is really saying. Me personally, I don't know about you, but I find myself even in the worst of situations, I will pull a word, I will extrapolate a word out of anything that anybody's saying. I'm in a season where if the dog barks, I'm trying to extrapolate what God is saying through the dog. It's just that easy because I believe that God uses so many things. I mean, he uses nature to speak. And the prophetic is not just the words that are spoken. I want you to understand that even where you are, no matter if you're in prison, whatever captivity you're in, wherever you are, God uses lots of different things to speak to his people. He uses not only prophetic words that are directly spoken to you, not just prophetic words that are spoken through the scripture, but he speaks through prophetic acts. I mean, there may be things around you that are doing things and different experiences that you're having in a moment, and you can sit and visualize that thing. And if you really have a voice, really have a heart and an ear to hear God, and you really have an eye to see, then you'll see what God is doing all around you. And so this is prophetic for me in so many ways, because God's been speaking some things to me about shifts happening in my life and in the lives of the people that I'm connected to. So I believe if you're on the line with me tonight, then it's for divine purpose and it's for his purpose. We recognize that it's not our purpose. I mean, there are a lot of people talking about purpose in this season as well. And I want to stop for a minute and just share something with the people of God. There are a lot of voices in the earth today. One of the things that we're going to have to be cautious of is discerning the voice of God. The Bible says that his sheep know his voice, and a stranger they will not follow. It's going to be really important that if you are his sheep, that you stay in his flock, that you don't wander off from the flock. Stay in the presence of your shepherd. He's the good shepherd. Stay in the presence of your good shepherd. He's the one that's leading you beside still waters and leading you into these green pastures where you'll be fed and where you'll be taken care of. And if for one minute you think that the grass is greener on the other side, I can assure you, by having gone on the other side in some seasons of my life, whether just in relationships or whether just anything that may have occurred in my life, I can assure you that the grass is not greener on the other side. That is simply turf. It's not even real grass. How about that? You can't even consume this thing that's on the other side. The water is not flowing. The water is stagnant. It looks pretty from across the fence, but I promise you it's stagnant and it's not flowing. And anything that is claiming to be water that's not flowing, it's going to be stagnant and it's not going to be good for drinking. It's not going to be good for refreshing you. I hope you hear what I'm saying. And so this is a God connection. This is a divine connection, and it's definitely for his purpose. Just for a minute, I want to share something about cycles, because I realize there are a lot of people that are on the line that will understand this word from the Lord. God has been talking to me about cycles over the months, and it's been amazing to me because I can look back over my life, and I did share this on my Periscope. I shared on several occasions, and anytime I'm ministering, I bring up this thing about cycles, because there are so many people that are stuck in cycles. They're not actually good cycles. They're negative cycles. And I want you to understand that God, because of the finished work of Christ, he's come to deliver you from those cycles, from those demonic cycles, those family cycles, those undesirable cycles. And I understand this, that the circles, which could be partnerships, that's what I'm going to relate them to tonight. These circles, meaning your partnerships, those whom you're surrounded by, create your cycles. You need to understand that the circles that you're in create your cycles. And sometimes your circles are the circles of your mind, and I could share just a little bit on that, but I want you to think about Acts chapter 14. I don't know how many of you have a Bible handy, but if you would turn to Acts chapter 14 really quickly, you would see that there is a situation here. Paul has been ministering. He's in this place, and these people that are just over Paul's ministry. By the way, we're in that season where people are really going to be over our ministry, because there are people that are so used to getting their ears tickled, and they want their fancies tickled. And so a real word of the Lord is a challenge for them, because a real word of the Lord challenges people to change. A real word of the Lord challenges people to change. But Acts 14 and 19 is discussing this situation with Paul and how he was stoned and left for dead. The cycle that he was in that moment were these people that had stoned him and drug him out of the city for dead. And I'm going to read it to you
And there came thither certain Jews. I'm in verse 19 of chapter 14 of Acts. It says, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. He was in a bad condition. They had beat him down so bad with those stones that they supposed that he was dead. The Bible says in the King James Version, how be it. That means I have this word that I say, how be ever, or be it how. As the disciples stood round about him, the disciples began to encircle Paul, and he rose up immediately. He got up from the place that he was in. His circle in one season, in that one time, was death. His circle was these bad people who had stoned him, and the result of that circle was death. But on this, in this verse 20, he says that the disciples surrounded him, and he rose up. So he transitioned from one cycle to another. He transitioned from death to life because of his circle. And I don't care where you are in your life or what's going on with you, you're going to need to understand that the people that you're surrounded with, the circles that you are hanging out in, those people that you partner with, are going to create the cycles in your life. I had a lot of ideas as a young person, and I would try to share different things in my family with people. And I even brought people together in the family because I had big ideas, and I might have been about 15 or 16 when I started calling family meetings. And I wanted to sit down with my family and have conversations with them about business and starting businesses and doing different things. And in that season, I wasn't seasoned enough to deal with these grown folks because they just thought I was a kid. They came to the meeting. They ate the food. We had a good time. We laughed and joked. They thought it was a great idea. Unfortunately, they didn't have the capacity in their mind to understand or to hear or to see exactly what I was talking about. Just for an example, we had a strike in our city on garbage. The garbage people went on strike. That meant, guess what? Nobody's garbage is going to be picked up. So that's going to pose a problem. So I saw that at age 16 as an opportunity to create business, to create commerce. And so I brought my family together and talked to them. I couldn't drive at the time yet. I didn't have my license yet. I did get it at 16, but not at that time. And so because I didn't have my license, I brought them together and began to have dialogue with them and had the plan all laid out. All they had to do was get their pens and papers and begin to expand on the ideas that I was giving them. And I believe in that season at 15, we could have really made an impact, not only in the city, but financially and economically, we could have made an impact, but nobody was willing to listen or hear. So even sometimes it's family that's a problem because their minds are not renewed. They can't wrap their minds around the thing. So you have to be cautious about the circles that you're hanging in because you could really become like Joseph. And Joseph was a dreamer. Not only did he have the favor of God, and I feel like sometimes, and I did share with some people in another occasion, that one of the people that I would liken myself to, if I had to liken myself to somebody that was in the scripture, it would be Joseph. I always had a certain favor on my life, and because of that favor, it caused me a little bit of an issue. While I'm talking about favor, I want to stop just for a minute and talk about the favor that Joseph had on his life as it pertains to those that are in places of confinement. I want you to understand that you can live your life above where you are. You can live your life in such a way that the power of God reaches into where you are and positions you in a different place. Yes, you may be behind bars. You may be confined to a certain extent, but God can give you a power. He can give you a favor even in the midst of where you are that puts you in another position, that even gives you authority behind bars. It puts you in a position of favor. So if you choose to live your life in a certain way and on a certain standard that brings glory to God, you'll understand what I'm talking about. If you begin to use these things that I'm talking about in this season, just begin to study the life of Joseph and how Joseph's life was impacted because how he lived his life. He chose to live his life a certain way. He wasn't ashamed to live his life out loud, and he wasn't ashamed to live for God because he was in some really precarious situations. He was thrown into a pit. You know, that pit would have normally been a place that would cause for refreshing for people and a place of commerce. That pit was actually a well. And wells represent economic empowerment. But this pit was dry. It was empty. And he was thrown in the pit because his brother Reuben was actually trying to keep his brothers from killing him. But sometimes you can be in a place that the favor of God is on your life so heavily till people want to hurt you. But I want you to understand that, amen, God always has somebody that can protect you. He always has a way of escape. And I promise you, the pit doesn't look like a wonderful place, but it was the best place for Joseph in that season of his life. But Joseph was a dreamer, and that was a problem for Joseph, because sometimes you can share your dreams with the wrong people. You can just begin to discuss some things. I'm just thinking about Sunday. As I was in our light and leadership class with my chief apostle, and he began to ask the people of God, what do you believe your assignment is as it pertains to this ministry? And, of course, he's the chief apostle, and I was outside of him, and I'm very close to him, so he knows what my assignment is. And I'm looking at him when he asked me the question. I'm saying, are you trying to position me to be stoned or thrown into a pit? I don't know what you're asking me. So I tried my best to get around the question as best I could, because I understand who I am, and I understand the favor of God that is on my life. And you're going to need to identify definitely in this season. If you are favored, you're going to need to recognize that you're favored and recognize where you're sharing what you're sharing and whom you're sharing it with. I have my youngest son is in jail. He's been there for 2 years. They were supposed to be releasing him just here on the first, but he got into a wrestling match with one of his buddies, and it wasn't anything but just, you know, horseplay or whatever. But they're saying that, you know, horseplay, at times people use that to try to fight or whatever. And I'm saying whatever. But anyway, they were supposed to let him out on the first, and he did not get out on the first. They added 30 more days. And I just told him simply, you know, you can have favor where you are, no matter where you are. You can have favor right where you are. If you just apply the things that you've learned and use this time, you know, wherever you are, use this time to study the Word of God. The Word of God is so important. I think it's so rare. It was a thing that was spoken concerning the time that Samuel was becoming a prophet. The Word of the Lord was rare in that time, meaning it was precious, but that word precious meant it was rare. Of course, Eli and his sons had a bunch going on. They were kind of doing their own thing. They were the priests, and they were not doing what God had commanded them to do. Eli's sons were on the wild. They were sleeping with the women in the temple doors and just doing a bunch of ridiculous stuff. And Eli refused to confront. This is why I'm telling you, the season of Eli. Eli's time has ended. We're just kind of riding in on the coattail, because if you look at those passages, you'll recognize it. Just go ahead and start in 1 Samuel and go on through. You'll realize that Eli was still on the scene, because Samuel still needed to be groomed. And God wasn't even talking to Eli anymore, which was the funny part, because God was talking to a child. He was bypassing the authority that was once there, and now he's talking to a child, yet he's using the authority that was once there to groom the thing that he's bringing into fruition. So you need to understand that no matter where you are in life, you may be seemingly in a place that you're not in authority, but if God is raising you up, nobody can stop you from being raised to the position that you're being raised to. But just back to what I was saying about this position that you can be put in. Sometimes you have to really be careful about what you're sharing, even when you're behind bars. That's why I was mentioning my son, because he's a very friendly person. He's an outgoing person. And I was telling him, son, stop telling people when you're about to be released, because the last fight that he had was centered around the fact that he was about to be released. And so what people do when they have more time or whatever it is, they don't care what they do, because they're going to be there longer than you. So I was trying to tell him, don't be so quick to tell people your business. Because what you're thinking about, you know, to the pure, all things are pure. You know, other people have other things on their mind. They're not coming from the same place that you are. So no matter where you are and you're hearing me today, if the word of the Lord is touching your heart today, I need you to begin to ponder these things in your heart and begin to search the scripture. Read the life of Joseph. Read through the book of Samuel and understand how these people were positioned, and begin to hear the voice of God. I think that that is of the utmost importance in this season, because without hearing the voice of God, you really don't have direction. And so we need to be able to hear the voice of God in this season like we've never heard it before. And we need to be able to question what we're hearing and to measure it against what the word of God is saying and what the voice of God is in the earth. And that comes through hearing. You need to have definitely targeted who God has assigned to be your father in this season in the word, or mothers, or whoever God has assigned you to be partnered with in this season to hear the word of God. That's also of the utmost importance as well, because when you're positioned, then you can hear. I'm not going to take up I got more time. Do I have more time, people of God? I got more time?
Yes.
Amen. Okay. Amen. Amen. It's really an hour for real, because I can talk longer than an hour, but I want to make sure I stay within the protocol of what we're doing here. I want you to understand that God doesn't meet our expectations. This is the thing that he woke me up with the other day. He doesn't meet our expectations. He exceeds expectations. The book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says he does exceeding and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. But I want you to understand that you must first have expectation before you can even get a need met or get a manifestation in an area. And where expectation comes from is the word of God. And hearing his word is important. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, not just that what you're reading, not just that which is written in the scripture, but your natural, your everyday communication with him. Hearing his voice is so important because it just leads us and it directs us and it guides us and it gives us a sense of identity. You know, we get our identity from God, and we were created in the image and likeness of him. And anytime our identity is compromised, then we're not hearing correctly and we're not exemplifying the right image. And so when we look in the book of Genesis, we can clearly see that he has a model. I was sharing this with the people of God the other day, and I think this is important. This is really what I wanted to start out with, and God took me another way. So we're just going to follow his lead. How about that? We'll just follow his lead. I want to let you know this, too. When partnerships are being created and formed, the quality of the relationship is only as valuable as the quality of the people that are forming the partnership or the relationship. But for me, in this season, I've been sharing with a lot of people, and sometimes people can get a little miffed and they'll get a little irritated, but no matter what relationship you're forming in this season, you're going to need to understand that there needs to be some definition. You're going to need to define relationships. Why do you need to define relationships, you ask? I'll tell you. One of the reasons why you need to define relationships is because anything that's not defined is chaotic. If you look in the book of Genesis, in the very beginning, the earth was without form and void. It was without form and void because darkness was upon the face of the deep, because this was the time when the enemy had been cast from heaven. He had been cast out of his old position, and now he's been cast down to the earth. Now everything is chaotic. And so now God comes in behind that, and he begins to define things again. He begins to put things in order. So your relationship being defined is important, because until you define the relationships, no matter what place you are in life, until you define relationships, you'll never have the right context for expectation. You need to be able to have an expectation of everything that you're dealing with. But until you understand the context of a thing, until you actually have the right perspective, and that comes from defining a thing. If you've defined the thing, then you understand what the purpose of the thing is. You understand the direction that the thing is going, whether it's a relationship, whether it's an idea, whether it's a concept, whether it's a business. I want to go here real quick. I believe this is the business model. It's a kingdom business model that God gave me just about a week or two ago, and he's calling this kingdom business model 101. This is business modeling 101. God gives a purpose to things before he produces it. I hope you were able to understand what I said. He gives things a purpose before he produces it. Everything God does has a purpose first. When we look in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 5, God says to Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee in your mother's womb, I knew you, and I sanctified you. I set you apart. I gave you a purpose. I called you to be a prophet to the nations, and then you were birthed. Before you were formed, I already gave you everything that you were going to be. I already knew who you were going to be. I already established that, and the seed of my word was already in you in that season." And so we just give glory and honor to God. I don't care where you are in life. The purpose of God is on your life. And so no matter where you are, you're going to need to tap into what is that purpose. God, what is your purpose for my life? Because when you have purpose, then you have a path that you're able to go. When you have a purpose, you're able to produce things. And no matter what kind of pressure is coming against you from the outside, the pressure doesn't make you draw back. It doesn't make you run in the other direction. It presses you to produce. When we talk about production, I'm always thinking about a woman that's in a birthing place. And this is the ninth month, so this is actually a month of birthing things. And I believe no matter where you are, you're bringing forth some things in this season of your life. If you can hear this word of the Lord today, if you're not already pregnant, you will be. You will conceive before the word of the Lord is done going forth, and you'll be pregnant and be able to bring forth in this month of birthing. But I always think of the woman that's birthing and what happens with that whole thing of pregnancy, conception and pregnancy and carrying the baby to full term and then birthing. The woman, probably around the seventh or eighth month, she begins to have these things that are false contractions. We call them Braxton Hicks. I've had five babies, so I understand this process really well. we begin to have these false contractions, and that's just a signal to let you know that there's some transformation, there's some manifestation that's about to be on the horizon, it's about to take place just shortly. And so we have these Braxton Hicks ahead of time because these are the false contractions that prepare us for the big deal, for the real deal. I believe without the false contractions, without these things that happen in our lives that cause a little bit of an upset, that cause a little bit of discomfort, then when the real thing hits, we would buckle and we would fold under the pressure, not understanding that that is not the time to fold. It is not the time to buckle. It's actually the time to push. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you are pressured and you've been cultivated and you've been developed in the things of God and you understand your purpose, then when you get to the birthing seat, you're not afraid to push. You understand that that is the time to push. It's not the time to fold. I have a funny joke. I talk about my middle son all the time because he was the biggest of my children. He was almost 11 pounds. I did birth all of my children naturally. So I want you to understand that I might have been about 115 when I got pregnant with him. That's around my normal weight, between 115 and 125. So I'm a small frame. I'm a little person. And so this boy, he was on his way. I was in the delivery room. My feet were in the stirrups, and the doctors were ready and in their positions, and everybody was in place. And as I was beginning to push, I was excited about the push because these contractions were getting hot and heavy, and I was excited about the push, but something happened. I felt a really different pain than what I felt before. I felt something really unusual happening, and I closed my legs in that moment, and the doctor said, wait, you can't do that. And I said, no, I said, I'm going to have to do this because you don't understand. Something else is happening here. I've not experienced this before, so I needed to shut it down just for a minute. We need to regroup because something is happening. And as he was telling me, well, the head is here. And so I began to push. This boy was almost 11 pounds, and so this is what kind of paralyzed me in a moment, you know. And so sometimes your pain can kind of paralyze you in a moment. But when you get to that birthing place, you're going to need to understand, no matter how tough the pain is, no matter how hard the pain is, it's time to push. And that is the season where the thing that's in you, that thing that God has conceived in you, that you've been pregnant with, that you've been carrying, whether it's a vision for business, whether it's a vision for ministry, whether it's a vision for your family, it's going to be time to push because that thing that you've been carrying has to come from the place inside of you. It has to manifest on the outside of you because it is now too big in you to remain there. Are you listening to what I'm saying? That thing is too big to remain there. I want you to understand, no matter where you are and no matter where you are in your life and no matter how confined you felt in seasons, there is always a place of freedom. The Word of God says that He came to give us life and that more abundantly. Abundant life is eternal life, and eternal life starts when you accept the finished work of Christ. And if you've accepted the finished work of Christ, I need you to understand that eternal life has already begun for you. And no matter where you are, abundant life has already begun. But you're going to have to tap in to some things, and you're going to have to recognize who you are. One of the biggest tactics of the enemy is he wants to cause you not to understand your identity. So he puts you in situations and under pressure and in conditions where you begin to question God, where you begin to see, you know, well, maybe that's not what God says. When we look in Genesis, that's one of the very first things that he did in the Garden of Eden, as he's talking to Eve. He's such a punk. He's talking to the man's woman and not the man, but he's such a punk. He wants to talk to her about the thing. And I shared this earlier, and I'll share it again because I know there are several people that are listening in more than one place. And for those of you who are married, you need to understand that if God gives you a good thing, that you're going to need to keep your focus on what God has given you and don't allow the enemy to change your focus. Because one of the things that the enemy uses when it comes to relationships, particularly marital relationships, but this can go across the board and you can use it wherever you are. This is another business model. You got to keep your eyes straight ahead. The Bible talks about keeping our eyes straight ahead and not looking all over the place. But the light of the body is the eye. And if you have focus, the Bible says if your eye is focused, then it's full of light. Meaning if your eye is focused on the thing that it should be focused on, then you have clear vision. You have the vision that you need. You have the light that you need to move forward in that thing that you're moving forward in. One of the things that the enemy loves to use as far as our identity crisis, but this thing right here about this light, your eyes not being focused and your eyes being everywhere else, he wants to definitely cause you to accuse the people that you're in business with. I was talking about marital relationships particularly, but I'm sharing with you across the board. He wants you to be in a position where you are, when you get in a pickle, that you begin to accuse people instead of recognizing the real culprit. And that's what the enemy wants to do, because he wants to bring division, he wants to bring separation so that collaboration can't happen. Because when people are unified, that's where the commanded blessing comes from. The oil flows from the head to the beard, even to the skirt. And then the Lord says that's where the commanded blessing happens at. I want to use this example, and I know some people use this example, and they use it as a negative example. I love Genesis chapter 11. One of the reasons why I love Genesis chapter 11 so much is because it just shows the model of how the body really should be in operation. It shows the level of uniformity, the level of unity, the level of imagination. And imagination is not a bad thing. It's when it's a bad imagination. It's when it's an imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We have to be able to see a thing before we can receive a thing. So you have to have an imagination. But I want you to understand that in Genesis chapter 11, here they are getting ready to build this Tower of Babel, and all of the people are on one accord. And it reminds me of Acts chapter 2, where the people were all in the upper room and they were all with one accord. They were with one accord. And in Genesis chapter 11, they are all there. They're of the same mind. They got the same thoughts going on. They're speaking the same language. And that's such a struggle in the body of Christ. But God is raising up prophets. He's raising up apostles to establish another order. The order that once was based on personalities. And because of that, then the body was receiving the personalities of the people that were supposed to be leading instead of receiving the presence of God, instead of receiving the power of God. They were receiving the personality of their leaders. And so where their leaders were jacked up at, now they're walking in these same personalities. And so now you have a house full of people who are just obnoxious, or they can speak in tongues, but they can't speak to each other. I mean, you got all of these different issues. And as one of my girlfriends, Pastor Robin in New Jersey, said, she calls them issues, tissues, and puffs. You got all these things going on. And nothing about the kingdom is pursuing. And so now we're in this new church age where people think that they have to do a bunch. They have to do a bunch because they have to change a bunch of things. And for me, the word of God has never changed. Are you listening to what I'm saying? The word of God for me has never changed. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever, just like God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And people are trying to throw out bait. Can I tell you something? If you're catching fish with bait, my friends, you're catching fish one at a time. That is not the kingdom of God. He taught the disciples. He said, let me pull you guys in because I want to teach you how to be fishers of men. And those people, there were several of them that came from the fishing profession, and they understood that a net was the way to catch what they were catching.
Yes.
You don't put bait in a net. Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Amen.
You just throw the net out there. But I want to get back to Genesis chapter 11 because I'll go off on a tangent on that. But in Genesis chapter 11, all of these people are all, they're all together. They're of the same mind. They all have the same thoughts. They're imagining the same thing. And they even, because of their imagination, go so far as to change the way that God established the thing to be built. And now they're going to make bricks. They're going to make mortar. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Your imagination is a powerful thing. And when you begin to tap into the imagination of God, which is where you really need to be, because none of this is about your purpose. None of this is about your dream. We are actually the dream of God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? We are his dream. That's why we were created to reflect his glory and be in his image and his likeness. We are his dream. And because we are his dream, then that means he has a dream already for us. He has a plan already for us. I love the book of Acts. I love Acts, I believe it's 15:18. It says, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. I love that verse because it just describes how organized God was and how determined he was to have a plan before he even created us. The book of Ezekiel talks about how our members were all put in a book. Every part of us is put in a book somewhere. God knows the numbers of our hair on our head. We need to understand the God that we're saying that we serve, because if we ever really tap into who he really is, then we'll start to be conformed into his very image and likeness. And that's the whole plan. That's actually the whole goal, that we be transformed into the very image and likeness of God. That's what he desires, because when we're conformed into his image and likeness, then we're representing him properly. We're proper ambassadors. We're proper representatives in the earth. I did a stint of this in my life, and I was an ambassador, what they would call a brand ambassador. I was a marketer. I've done marketing for lots of years of my life. I was a manager over lots of different major companies to be marketing their campaigns and their promotions that they would send out on the street. And they would call those people brand ambassadors. Well, that's what God is expecting us to be in this season, but he's already given us the model. Can I tell you something? You never go to a place where they want you to do something for the company and they don't give you training. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Anywhere you go that people are expecting you to represent them, they're going to give you the necessary training to represent them. I want you to understand, we talked about prayer at the beginning of the scope, and that's how I'm going to end. I want you to understand that prayer is the key to where you're trying to go. Everything is birthed out of prayer. If you've got a call on your life, if there's the thing that God has commanded you to do in business or in relationships, whatever it is, that thing is going to be birthed in prayer. And as I was studying some things in the scripture, it took me to the transfiguration of Jesus on the mount, which is in Luke chapter 9. And then it took me back to Exodus 34, where you'll see that Moses had a similar experience where he was in the presence of God and his face began to shine, and he had to put a veil over his face because the people couldn't stand it. They couldn't stand to be in his presence. But it's so amazing to me that if you're in the presence of God, I love how the scripture talked about it, how Jesus was in the presence of God. And as he began to pray, he began to be transfigured. Are you listening to what I'm saying? As he began to pray, so prayer is essential, particularly in this hour, as we are needing to be discerning about what we're doing, where we're going, who we're connected with. All of that is comes out of the power of prayer. But as we begin to pray, we are being transformed. We are being transfigured. The Bible declares in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, that renewing of the mind happens in the presence of God. It happens because of the word of God. And so here Jesus is on this Mount of Transfiguration, and he has a couple of his disciples with him. He didn't take everybody because everybody can't handle your transfiguration. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Everybody can't stand to see everything about you. And so you have to be careful. If there are leaders on the line, you're going to need to be careful what you allow everybody to see. Because I want you to understand that Jesus had a core group of people. He had a core, and then he had more, and then he had the multitude, okay? And so we need to identify in this season who everybody is. That's what I'm talking about. Defining relationships is important. But, again, this happens in prayer. And as we are beginning to be in the presence of the Lord, he's going to direct us. He's going to show us what we need to do, show us where we need to be, and show us whom we need to be connected with, because that's what's going to get us to the promise. A lot of times, what we do when we're in the position of heading to the promise, we need to understand this, and I was sharing this originally, and I'll share it again, but this is the model, that purpose happens before production. But what we are never, what we really never discuss in the body of Christ is that there is a process in between the purpose and the production, the purpose and the promise actually as well. Between the purpose and production, or the purpose and promise, is a process. And a lot of people really can't stand the process because we live in this age where everything happens so quickly. We've got the internet and we can Google some things. We've got microwaves and we can just throw it in a microwave and nuke it. We've got fast food lines and we can just run through the fast food joint and grab something to eat. It may not be beneficial, but we're going to eat it anyway. This is why a lot of people are desensitized to the process of God. And so we've got to go back to the old landmarks. We've got to go back to the old things and not remove the old landmark or the ancient landmarks of things, because when we do those kind of things, we forget the process. We forget how God handles things. Everything, he processes us because he knows how we're connected. He knows how we're wired. He knows what we need and how we need to get to the place that we're going. He knows the way that we need to go. The children of Israel, that first batch, he understood these people are going to die in this wilderness because they don't respect me, they don't honor me, and he allowed them an 11 days journey turned into a 40-year excursion. I don't know what kind of science project they was on, but I want you to understand that God's not interested in having us walk around in the wildernesses of our life. He's not interested in having you walk around in the wilderness of your mind. He's actually giving you a set time, and if you receive the set time, then you'll stay in his presence, and you'll be able to arrive at that set time. I believe there's a time for everything. Ecclesiastes talks about it, that there's a time for everything. And when you realize that there's a time for everything and you begin to respect the time that's been put in the earth, because actually there's no timing in heaven. So when we pray, your will be done, your kingdom come and your will be done, we're praying for something from another dimension to enter our dimension. And we need to understand that that thing is not on a time basis. So we need to understand that God really wants to shift us from the dimension that we're living in, but that takes supernatural living. A lot of times we're living from a natural perspective, and we're not living supernaturally because we only see ourselves as natural men. But again, from the beginning, God created them in his likeness and in his image. And what he really wants us to do in this season is to really tap into our true identity. That's what God is raising up in this season, of people that would tap into their true identity and begin to operate in the earth, even as Jesus did. Jesus left these words with us. He says, as I was in the earth, so are you. He was a light in the earth. He made us light and salt. He was a priest. He made us, now he's a high priest. He made us priests, and he made us kings before the Lord. And so we can decree things. We can declare things. And if you know anything about a decree, once a decree comes out of the mouth of a king, it cannot be rescinded. Are you listening to what I'm saying? But that's the importance of being in the presence of God and being in the word of God, because you know what to decree and what to declare. God is prepared to do supernatural things for his people. But you're going to need to position yourself to receive the supernatural in this season. I love you so much. I appreciate this time that we've shared. I appreciate this time that we shared, and I'm going to turn it over. I'm 5 minutes ahead of time, I believe, in turning it over just a little bit earlier because what I don't want to do is go over. So I love you and appreciate you so much, people of God, for being here and letting me share these words with you. I pray
Thank
that
you.
Anything that I've said would bring manifestation in your life and transformation in your life. I pray right now that divine revelation, instructions, and directions will be your portion in this season, that you would begin to hear the voice of God, that you begin to move
Amen.
Into promise and manifestation in Jesus' name.
Yes.
I thank you so much.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We thank you, Prophetess Crystal Lee, for that profound word on tonight. Truly, it was a blessing to me, and a lot of it was confirmation to me. And I thank you for that on tonight. At this time, I'm going to turn it over. If Bishop Zimmerman is on the line, I'm going to let her have closing
Amen.
Remarks. Amen. God bless
Amen.
You, Bishop.
God bless you, Elder. I just wanted to say how truly I definitely was blessed by those words and was just taking copious notes myself. That truly
My God.
Was the word of the Lord was speaking because I was thinking about Joseph on that as well. And Joseph was one of those that his brothers were trying to kill him because they thought if they could kill Joseph, they was going to be able to kill his dream. And one thing that we can learn is that regardless of whether we are in the jail cell or whatever challenge that we may be going through, that, you know, we can improvise and continue on to follow the Lord, and we can
Amen.
Always work toward our dreams, because if God gave us a dream, and if we just meditate on it, seek his face, then we can just follow his will. We can go on, and those dreams can come to fruition, because if God ordained it, he will give us all of the tools and utensils that we need.
Yes.
But we want to definitely honor all of the leaders and all of the pastors, and definitely want to give the prelate, Bishop Carter, recognition for
yes,
being here.
Hallelujah.
We definitely, prophetically, we want to thank you for that awesome word. Truly, it
thank
really
you.
Blessed each of us and it honored
yes.
us. Elder Brittany, as always, we just want to give glory and honor to you, for you are definitely a blessing to Agape.
Amen.
So many. We want to honor all that are listening here, and we pray that you continue not only to listen each week, but continue to come back and listen on your time, off time, and just get this word, let it resonate into your spirit. We want to honor the Sumter Lee Regional and Orangeburg County Jails, as well as Lee Correctional Facilities. We want to encourage you to continue to put your hands to the gospel plow, because God got a work for each and every one of us. You know, we want you to continue to be strengthened mind, body, and spirit. And God has a tremendous assignment. So continue to do what thus says the Lord. And when you do what thus says the Lord, trust me that God will take care of you and honor you, and he will give you favor among great men.
Yes,
and at this
does.
Time, I want to turn
yes,
it over to our prelate, Bishop Daniel Carter.
God bless you,
Amen.
Bishop Zimmerman and Prophetess Lee, and to Elder Britton. I just thank God for each and every person on this line, all of the bishops and pastors and apostles and prophets and all of those in the ministry, and all of you. I thank God for you. I want everyone on the line to know that, you know, there would be no preachers if it weren't for you. You know, we are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ for you. So I thank God for every person that is bigger than me tonight. I thank God for each and every one of you, and I thank God for all of you who have participated in this broadcast tonight. I thank God for the Bible teaches us in Amos chapter number 3, I think in verse number 7, that surely the Lord God will do nothing but he
yes,
really revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. So I want to give some release for some of us tonight There was some birthing for some of us tonight. There was some pushing for some of us tonight. There was some loosing for some of us tonight. There was some increase for some of us tonight. Whatever you needed tonight, I believe that there was a full fruition of many various things that you could have pulled from tonight to get some victory in the areas of your life. So I thank God for the word, for the word is the truth. And God told us to sanctify them through my word, for my word is the truth. And his word will do anything that is needed to be done. So I give honor to God tonight for, again, all of those. Thank you, Bishop Zimmerman, for all of those who are in prison and behind bars. I give honor to my friend Noel Jones, who's online tonight. I thank God for Bishop Pete, who's on the line tonight, and all of the various preachers that are joining us tonight. I thank God for you. I thank God for each and every person under the sound of my voice. I thank God for Staying on Purpose broadcast, and we're getting ready for Thursday night, the School of the Prophet, and I don't have a word yet, but I'm sure that the Lord will speak to me by Thursday. I won't even teach if God don't give me a word, so I thank the Lord tonight for that. And to all of you pastors who are on my list, I will be getting with you when the Lord allows me to, when the Lord leads me to. I'll be with you, and I thank God again to Prophetess Lee for such a dynamic inspiration from the word of the Lord. So I thank God for each and every person under the sound of my voice, and to all of the 6 broadcasts that are going out for to hear us right now, TalkShoe and Blog Talk and Zeal and everybody else that are on the line tonight. We thank God for you. So may the Lord bless you. May the Lord increase you. And may you know in this season that God is getting ready to do a bigger
He's wonderful. Wonderful.